Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher and Andrew Farley. I'm Bob Davis, and as always on this broadcast, the phone lines are open, and we will welcome your calls right now to 844-322-2742. If you have a Bible question or if there's something you're dealing with in life, a difficult issue or whatever it happens to be, well, let us hear from you. We'd like to discuss it with you on this edition. So the phone number again, 844-322-2742. Call now, friends, because it's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Andrew Farley is with us today. Andrew, glad you're with us.
Hey, great to be with you guys.
Yeah, so we're going to have a great day answering questions, but as we always do, we're going to start out with a little talk about Jesus and just what he means to us, and we've been doing that all month, taking a really hard look at some of the passages, some of his claims about himself, what other writers in the New Testament say about Jesus. And we've even looked at some Old Testament passages concerning the person of Jesus Christ. Just who is he? And that's one of the big questions. And that's one of the big questions that skeptics raise. They're not sure that he truly is who he claims to be. But the Word of God is very clear. And one of the clearest passages is actually in the book of Titus. So it's a short little letter in the back. And in verse, if I can read it, it says verse 13 that we are waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. So here's who Jesus is. He is our great God and Savior. Now, Andrew, this is just right in the middle of a passage talking about the grace of God and how the grace of God teaches us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions. And I think it's interesting that it's nested right into this passage because it really shows the power of Christ working in and through us, doesn't it?
Yes, if you've ever wondered, you know, this grace, maybe it's dangerous, maybe it's greasy grace, maybe it's hyper grace, maybe there's too much grace, watch out for that. Well, this passage really dispels that concern. What we find is you don't have to worry about greasy grace. I mean, you've got such traction here with Christ leading you and ministering to you and inspiring you and motivating you. And as I like to say, you know, people always say, this could be hyper grace. Well, when you look at this passage, it makes you pretty hyper because you've got a very active God living in you. So grace is not just some generic concept. Grace is a person, and his name is Jesus Christ. And when we recognize that he is full of grace and truth, and that we can trust him and depend on him and rely on him, then we've got a grace that we can really count on. And as it says here, he tutors us, he leads us to live upright lives. And that's incredible that we don't have to rely on a bunch of religious rules. We get to let Christ rule in our hearts by faith. And that's what it's all about.
Yes, indeed. As I was reading this earlier today, Andrew, the passage in Philippians 2, 13, you know, started coming to mind where Paul writes that it is God who is at work in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. And I think this is exactly what Paul is telling us in Titus, that how does the grace of God teach us to say no? Well, it's God himself who is at work in us, working in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. That's how it teaches us to say no and to live righteous, upright lives in this present generation. So the yeah. God that powerfully saved us through his death, burial, and resurrection, saved us from the power of sin and death, is now living in us, and he powerfully works in us, empowering us to live out who we are as children of God in this world of darkness.
Yeah, and so if you've ever wondered, you know, I'm curious what God is up to in me. What if he ends up doing something that I don't like, or what if he ends up wanting something from me that I don't want? Well, that's not really the gospel message. The gospel invites us to this beautiful place of, you know, God's at work in you to cause you to want. He's going to have you want what he wants. And there's going to be a perfect fit here, a compatibility, look, when you've got the family genetics, when you're in the family, you've been invited to the table to feast on God's goodness, well, the first thing he does is he makes you good by inhabiting you, by indwelling you and causing you to be born of him. You become a new creation, compatible with him. You get that new heart, those new desires. He even says you're a slave of righteousness. So we don't have to worry about not wanting what God wants because, as you read, Bob, I mean, God's at work in us to want, to will, to desire, and to do. It would be one thing if God was just telling us what to do, but fortunately, there's way more to the gospel than that. He's not only showing us what to do, he's causing us to desire it as well.
Yes, indeed. Bob?
It is Basic Gospel, everybody. The voice you've heard is Andrew Farley joining Bob Christopher and me, and we're glad that you're with us today, everybody. We would love for you to pose your question or your particular need to us right now at 844-322-2742, and that, of course, good in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. And friends, the phrase, hear it, believe it, live it, those are not just hollow words. Here at Basic Gospel, our purpose is to help people hear, believe, and live in the truth of the gospel. And people are hearing and believing what God teaches them through Basic Gospel. Our online purpose, our ongoing purpose, then, is to help them live every day in the love and grace of the good news of Jesus Christ. It's there that we need your help, friends. To say thank you for supporting Basic Gospel in January, we want to offer you the opportunity of taking a fresh look at Jesus Christ and what he has done for us through this new Hear It, Believe It resource called Jesus, a 30-Day Devotional. It's an opportunity to get to know Jesus in a much deeper way, and we want that for you, our listeners. So when you make your gift to support Basic Gospel this month, we'll send you a copy of this new resource, Jesus, a 30-Day Devotional, to say thank you for your gift to Basic Gospel. As always, you can donate now or anytime at basicgospel.net.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's go to our phone lines. We're going to start in Thorndale, Texas, with our good friend Clay. Hi, Clay.
Hey, Clay.
Hello. Hey, Bob, I was reading your Simple Gospel, Simply Grace for the third time, and I really like that chapter 6 and 7. I was getting something last night, you know, where it says, and I agree with you, the most important question that any of us ever have to answer is, who do you say I am? And then Jesus makes a statement, it is finished. Well, we need to respond to that with a question to what's finished, okay? Because I knew I had his life, and I knew I had eternal life, but I never saw my sins as that he forgave all my sins, past, present, and future, and he remembers them no more. And what I want you to see, you know, in John 10:10, where it says, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. I knew that I had life, but I couldn't live that life abundantly here on his earth, on this earth, producing fruit of the Spirit till I came to the revelation of where I could lay down sin consciousness and realize that he remembers them no more because of what through the grace and work that Jesus Christ did on the cross and through his resurrection, through his death, burial, and resurrection. I'd just like to hear y'all expound on that.
Yeah, great question, Clay. Andrew, you know, I wrote a little book years ago about forgiveness and called it The Door to Life. And it's when we fully understand that all of our sins are forgiven, that's when we're free to enjoy that life to the full. If we're still wrestling with it, we're still struggling with the most basic question, does God love me or does he not? And when we settle that through the cross, that opens a door, and it's wide open to us where we can really enjoy this life to the full.
Yeah, you know, Clay brought up that great question that Jesus put to them, who do you say that I am? And now we're adding to that, essentially, and we're saying, what do you think I've done? What have I finished? What does it mean that it's over, this sin issue? And so it's very much like saying we Christians can't get stuck in Friday. We have to graduate to Sunday and beyond. We can't get stuck at the foot of the cross going, what does this mean? We need to take it all in, gather it in, and appreciate it and celebrate it to the fullest, and then begin inquiring about the meaning of the resurrection. There's too many of us Christians we're fearful of a final judgment. What is God going to say about my many sins? Well, the simple truth is he keeps no record. He's going to say nothing about your sins because he remembers them no more. He keeps no record of wrongs. He's removed them as far as the east is from the west. So it is finished truly refers to our totally forgiven state. And when we can put that behind us and say, yay, Jesus, thank you so much, and celebrate that finished work to the fullest, then we get to wake up and say, all right, now, what are you up to in my life today? You've put your very life in me, and the sin issue is over. So let's talk righteousness. Let's talk life. Let's talk future and hope as you lead me and guide me and inspire me from within. So you're absolutely right, guys. I mean, Clay and Bob, you know, I just love how you've put it, that there's a forgiveness is the doorway to life. And once we realize it's finished, we can have a new beginning with Jesus today.
Yes, indeed. I love this word, too, telos. And we'll just have these last comments and go on to a couple of our other phone callers. But this word, tetelestai, the root word, the center core of it is telos, which means goal, a goal that's been accomplished. So God the Father had a goal for Jesus, and Jesus inhabited a body to carry out that goal, to complete the task that he put before him, and so he did. Jesus finished the work, and then God rewarded him by giving you and me forgiveness, total forgiveness, complete forgiveness. Why? Because Jesus crossed the finish line and said, it's done, it's over. It's completely wiped out that sin debt, and we get to wear that medal of forgiveness and enjoy this life to the full every single day.
Yeah.
Well, Clay, thanks for your call. We certainly appreciate it. Let's stick in Texas and go down and talk with Aaron. Hi, Aaron.
Hi, how you doing today?
Doing well. What's on your mind?
Well, great. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, I just got a quick question. I know Jesus taught up under the law to redeem those who were under the law. But, and I know in John 8, and I think somewhere else in the Gospels, the woman that was caught in the act of adultery, Jesus told her, go and sin no more. And I was just curious, and we know that's impossible, but was he saying that she can see, the only way we can ever be right with God is by receiving his grace? Is that why what he wanted her to know? And I'm just getting hung up and listen to your answer. Thank you for taking my call. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, yeah, Aaron, that's a great question. This idea of go and sin no more doesn't appear apart from neither do I condemn you. And I think you put those two together. Those are the two statements in John 8:11. The statements of Jesus Christ to this woman. And so he first says there's no condemnation for you, and then he says go now and leave your life of sin, or go and sin no more. And what a picture that is of what he's done for us. He didn't just shout out to the church, please stop sinning. First, he says, look what I've done for you. Look what I've done to you. And as a result, there's no condemnation for you. You've got that new heart. You've got a new spirit. You're dead to sin. You're alive to God. Now, go and sin no more. So this woman, I'm sure she didn't fully understand all the implications of this statement. It's a bit of a foreshadowing of the incredible gospel that was on its way in. But at the same time, I mean, this is the heart of Jesus. He wants the best for her. It's not that she can't sin. It's that he doesn't want her to be mired in that mess that sin really is. So there's no condemnation in his heart toward her. There's no condemnation in his statement. But there is protection, and there's a desire for her to have a better life. And ultimately what we get in Jesus is a totally new life. We leave the old ways behind. We become this new creation. And Bob, I love how he's coupled these two statements, because they really go together. I mean, first, child of God, there's no condemnation for you. You're totally forgiven. You're under God's grace. You're completely accepted. And by the way, as we read in Titus earlier, this is going to lead you to say no to sin and to live an upright life. So these two attitudes of I don't condemn you and get free from sin in me, those are Jesus's statements that really are foundational to the gospel itself.
Aaron, does that help?
That was great. Yeah, it makes sense now. When we hooked it, I condemn you. I condemn you. Now that makes a lot of sense. Thanks. I really appreciate it. You guys have a great day.
Thanks. You're welcome. Too. It's kind of interesting, Andrew. You know, the whole story is about the Pharisees wanting to stone her and bringing the law out, saying, you know, Moses and the law said we're supposed to stone women like this because of their act of adultery. And in stark contrast is Jesus bringing grace. There is no condemnation for you. And that tells us something. Jesus is the only one that can make that declaration. And he makes that declaration to you and to me and to every believer because of his finished work on the cross.
Andrew Farley joining us on this broadcast today. Thank you for joining us, everybody. You know, friends, again, we extend our deepest thanks to each one of you who stand with us in support of Basic Gospel and the message of grace in Jesus Christ. It's a true encouragement to us that so many of you have heard, believed, and are living in the good news of Jesus, and that's why it's vital for Basic Gospel to be here every day, and we need your help to make sure that that continues. When you donate in January, we want to send you a great new resource called Jesus, a 30-day devotional written by Bob Christopher to help you grow in your Christian life by taking a fresh look at the Lord Jesus. Be sure to request your copy when you make your gift to support Basic Gospel, and you can do that now or any time at basicgospel.net. Well, once again, that phone number, friends, 844-322-2742, and let's see who's on the line right now.
Yeah, I have a question about the second coming of Christ. His name doesn't necessarily going to be Jesus, is it? Because it's the second coming of Christ. Or is it going to be Jesus Christ? And I was also kind of curious about Joseph's last name. And that's it. That's my questions. Have a nice day.
Yeah, those are good questions. I think when he's revealed, we're going to know him as Jesus. That's his name. That was his name because he saved us from our sins. But when he's revealed, we're going to see him for who he is. We're going to be revealed with him in glory. We're going to see us for who we really are. So there's lots of things that are going to be revealed at his second coming. But I think we're going to see his essence. When he comes, standing before us is going to be the great I Am. Standing before us is going to be just everything the Word of God says about Jesus. But we're going to have the privilege of being able to call him Jesus, and I think that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Also, as far as Joseph's name, you know, the way they did this, Andrew, they always connected a person to their father. So like Simon Bar Jonah, that word Bar is son of. So Simon, son of Jonah. And Joseph would have been known as the son of his father. It could, you know, based on the genealogies, probably Jacob, son of Jacob. So we see that in the genealogies, and that's how he would be known. He was Joseph of Nazareth, so they identified him based on where he was from, where he lived, and they also do it based on who the father is.
Yeah, and you know, as far as the name of Jesus, you look through Scripture and you see so many different ways he's described at his second coming. He's called the Son of Man. We know he is the Son of God. You look at Matthew, the lightning comes from the east and shines as far as the west. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. We read earlier in Titus that he is God, and the Lord Jesus Christ is God. So Christ means that he is the Christ or the Messiah. It's not really a last name as much as it is a title and a pronouncement for all of humanity to be aware of. But we have The day of the Lord is another expression that's used. So whether we're going to say, look, it's the Lord, or look, it's the Lord Jesus, or look, it's the Lord Jesus Christ, or look, it's the Son of God, I think the biggest thing of all is that we're just going to be excited that we have seen what we eagerly awaited, and that is that he returns, as Hebrews says, without reference to sin, yeah, to those who are eagerly awaiting him.
Yeah, that's good news. Good news indeed. So I hope that is a benefit to you, and thank you for posing that question on Basic Gospel today. Let's go to Louisville, Kentucky, and talk to Mary Jo. Hi, Mary Jo.
Hello. My question is this. What's the word? It starts with the G, and it has to do with mingling law and grace.
Okay. Commingling law and grace? Would
that
it be
Galatianism?
Oh, okay.
Would be what that is, and it just stems from the letter to the book of or to the city of Galatia, or the province of Galatia. That's what they were doing. They were trying to commingle law and grace. So it's commonly referred to as Galatianism.
Galatianism.
Yes. Does that make sense?
Galatian.
Yeah, or you could just keep it simple and say, hey, they were mingling law and grace. They were kind of combining the two. I like to do that. I like to keep things simple.
Okay,
Mary Jo.
Thank you so much.
You are so welcome. Thanks for your call.
Yeah, you know, Bob, as you were answering that, I was thinking about Galatians 3. If we need a definition of Galatianism, it seems like this might be it. Galatians 3:3, are you so foolish? After beginning by the Spirit, are you now trying to finish by human effort? And that's a pretty good definition of what Galatianism or commingling the covenants, all of that. What that really is you started one way, you're going to try to finish another way. You're going to say, oh, I'm saved by grace through faith. But then, you know, it's a self-improvement program after that where I give it my best shot. No, just as we received him, we also continue in him that very same way.
Yes, indeed. Well, guys, we had this question from our friend B. Is fasting something I should consult God about first versus fasting and a church fast just because they announce it? I opt out of most corporate fasts because I don't feel spiritually prepared. How should we approach fasting?
Well, yeah, that's a very interesting question. I mean, you can do a study of fasting in the New Testament, and you're really going to be concentrated on the book of Acts primarily, because that's where we see some Jews who are fasting, and they're doing it to avoid distraction. Apparently, they're doing it in the selection of other leaders. So you could see how it might be a cause for focus, and food might have been the main form of entertainment back then. So avoiding distraction, devoting yourself to prayer. But as far as any prescription for New Testament believers, look, we're free. Food and drink don't make us right with God. Ultimately, we are right by the cross and the resurrection. And the number one use of that word fast in the New Testament is hold fast to the gospel itself.
That's
yes,
great.
Indeed.
Thank you, Andrew, for that. You know, we love hearing from our listeners here at Basic Gospel, and we're terrifically encouraged when we get calls like this.
Hey, Mom, I really don't have a question. I just want to thank y'all for what y'all do and for being on the air. I pray for y'all that God will always support y'all's needs. It's a blessing, you know. It's just as I go down the road and go home that I get to listen to it in the afternoon. And knowing you hear the Word of God and hearing the truth and, you know, there's a lot of people out there that just need to hear that truth because it does something for them. Like me, I called on the name of the Lord to save me, and I love him so much. Back in 1990, I praise God. And I just want to know, y'all are such a blessing. You really are. Y'all are such a blessing. And I want y'all to know that. And I pray for y'all all the time. Y'all have a blessed day.
Yeah, what a wonderful call.
I appreciate that.
We all do. We're terrifically encouraged when we hear calls like this. Well, friends, thank you for joining us for Basic Gospel. We'll be back tomorrow at the same time. So if there's something you'd like to talk about on tomorrow's broadcast or like us to talk about, well, leave us a voicemail at 844-322-2742. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, and with thanks to Andrew for being with us, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to be back tomorrow. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.